Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live. This is Glenn and Jill. I'm in New York City and Jill is in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm doing great. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing awesome. Another day above ground. We've got some interesting and some topics tonight that we're going to talk about Obama and some of his accomplishments and some of the things that he's trying to get done. And just looking forward to it. It's an exciting conversation for us to be engaged in. And, you know, I got to say, this whole month has been very good for me because basically it's been a learning. You know, I've learned a lot about what Obama has done. I've learned about, you know, did some more research on the jobs bill, did some more research about find out some more information about the first family, some of the tidbits of that, pieces of information. And just, I'm present to all of the accomplishments that Obama has done, all the firsts as well as his accomplishments. So I'm looking forward to a great show and, we'll keep it moving. And I see Jerry just joined us. Jerry, welcome to the call.
Peace, my brother. How's everybody doing?
Excellent, excellent. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm blessed. Thank you.
All right. Cool. Well, Jill, would you read the declaration for me?
I sure will. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution and the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Atlanta, Georgia, October 30th, 2011. Above, below, north, south, east, west. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill. So great to have your energy with us, you and Jerry. Feel like a big chested uncle or something. You know, welcoming you into the family, into the clan. Well, we've got some interesting things. We might as well let's go get all of the commercials out of the way. So, Jill, any announcements that we have?
Yes, I was going to mention the China tour. I just want anyone who's out there listening, I just want to acknowledge the people that are on the tour. It started October 22nd, and it's ending actually tomorrow. And I also want to remind people of the purpose. And the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. And also, I want our listeners, especially new listeners, to know that the International Black Summit is a conversation being given by Life to the world through people of Black African descent. Back to you, Glenn.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Thank you for presencing that. Because we really wanted to let you know that this is about people of Black African descent getting together and having a conversation to empower ourselves, our community, and our communities worldwide. So it really is for you. You can get some additional information on the website, www.blacksummit.org. And we are a not-for-profit organization, 501c3, and we do need your support. So please come to the site and look to see how you can support us, body, mind, soul. And we invite you to really engage. And tonight we're going to be doing some engaging. But before we go there, Mr. Jerry, would you give us the Kwanzaa distinction for tonight?
There's one, the Umoja, in parentheses means unity, means to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race.
Excellent. Thank you, brother, as always. That's something that Jerry has put into the talk show team to be able to present Kwanzaa, so the principles of Kwanzaa are never forgotten and that we're always present to it, and we don't have to be in the 7 days of Kwanzaa to acknowledge and to be present to the beauty and the power that we are as people of Black African descent. Thank you for that, brother, and thank you for your commitment to this conversation. And we also want to mention that Jerry, we want to acknowledge Jerry for having his first anniversary, his annual, his anniversary of having his own talk show. He celebrated that this past Thursday. We want to acknowledge Brother Man for that. Anything you want to say about that, Jerry?
I just say thanks for the announcement, and I'm listening out for future shows, because I'm definitely going to have certain people of the summit be coming to my show, so we could talk about the situations in our community, so we can help others and other topics. So stay tuned, and if we have time tonight before the show ends, I will give out that number. So, like I said, stay tuned, because JT MVP Thinking for Ourselves is coming. Not afraid to talk about issues. But the only thing we got to do, we got to find solutions. And that's what I'm all about, and that's what we at International Black Summit are all about, finding solutions to better our community around the world, more than our vision. Back at you, my brother.
Very good. We also just wanted to let you know that we did have a leadership body meeting yesterday and today, and the facilitators met in Chicago, and came up with the event for 2012. With, you know what, as quickly as we did, what city are we going to?
Alabama.
Birmingham,
right?
Yep.
Yep.
So we're going to Birmingham, Alabama, this upcoming year, 2012, and then we're going to Ottawa, Canada, 2013. So look out, be ready. I did forget one announcement. We're in the process of doing a joint venture with Landmark Education at Landmark's New York Area Center, and we're looking to have Introduction to the Forum co-sponsored by the International Black Summit. We're having an Introduction to the Forum with Landmark. We're in talks of it, so it hasn't formalized yet, but sort of going back home. So we're negotiating that, and we'll be bringing you some information consistent with that information as we get closer and get all the details worked out. So with that, let's get it on. We've got lots of good information. We've got some great websites. One of the websites I want to let you know about is ObamaAchievements.org, and it gives you all of the things. It gives you so many things that we're not even going to be able to discuss a quarter of the things that are on that list. And that website actually has it broken down quite a bit. It has arts and culture, banking and financial reform, civil rights, commerce, trade and technology, conservation, economy, education, specifically college education, health of the children, employment, jobs, energy, and green technology, energy and old standards that were being upgraded, oil, energy and oil, foreign affairs, government efficiency, and I'm not even going to go through the rest of the list. That's not even half the list. So you can get an idea that there are a lot of different categories and there's so much stuff. There's another website that's called WTF Has Obama Done So Far? And so I'm not going to say that over the air because we can't do that, but it actually is WTF. But it actually is a friendly website in terms of what it's talking about. And just want to be real clear that what we're talking about here, the International Black Summit is not, these are not the views of the International Black Summit. We are presenting the information that we as a research team have found on various resources, mostly the internet. And so we're reporting back so that you out there can be knowledgeable about what's being said, what's being done, who's holding whom accountable for the information and the conversation of achievements of the President Obama's administration. So with that, I'm going to kick it off, and if you'd like to jump in the conversation, certainly please press 1, and we'll get you as soon as possible. Henrietta asked me to do one thing to start off the show, so I'm going to do that, and not so much to get it out the way, but to really, for us to be clear how the presidency works and what is the process that's involved in bringing legislation to, having it be approved in this country. And so the first thing to look at, to think about, is that there are three branches of the U.S. government. And so some of you still may remember, this is probably junior high school or high school social studies. But for me, that's been a few years, so I need to go and research it. So we've got three branches. We've got the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial. Judicial. Anyway, what does all that mean? So, of course, the executive branch is the power vested in the President of the United States, and so who acts as the head of state and the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. The President is responsible for implementing and enforcing the laws written by Congress, and to that end, appoints the heads of the federal agencies, including the cabinet. The vice president is also part of the executive branch, ready to assume the presidency should the need arise. And we're not even having that conversation because there is no need going to be arise in this administration. So the cabinet is appointed by the president and is an independent federal agencies are responsible for the day-to-day enforcement and administration of federal laws. These departments and agencies have missions and responsibilities as widely divergent as those of the Department of Defense, the Environment Protection Agency, the Social Security Administration, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. So that's just to name a few. And they include the members of the Air Force. The executive branch employs more than 4 million Americans. So the executive branch, employs more than 4 million Americans. The legislative branch, of course, is Congress. Well, Congress is the House of Representatives and the Senate. So together they make up the Congress. And the Constitution grants Congress the sole authority to enact legislation and to declare war, right to confirm or reject many presidential appointments, and substantial investigative powers, such that they did with the Clinton administration. The House of Representatives is made up of 435 elected members, divided among the 50 states in proportion to their population. In addition, there are 6 non-voting members representing the District of Columbia, which boggles the mind that the District of Columbia, you know, are non-voting members. But it's another conversation for another day. Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and 4 other territories of the United States. Presiding officer of the chamber is the Speaker of the House, elected by the representatives. He or she is third in line of succession to the president. So again, president, vice president, and then the Speaker of the House. Members of the House are elected every 2 years and must be 25 years of age, a U.S. citizen for at least 7 years, and a resident of the state, but not necessarily the district they represent. The House has several powers assigned exclusively to it, including the power to initiate revenue bills, impeach federal officials, elect the president in the case of electoral college tie, which has not happened to my knowledge. Senate is composed of 100 senators, 2 from each state, until the ratification of the 17th Amendment in 1913. Senators were chosen by state legislators, not by popular vote. I'm going to skip down to the rest of this. The Vice President of the United States serves as President of the Senate and may cast a decisive vote in the event a tie in the Senate. So Vice President kind of is the tiebreaker. And in order, now this is important, in order to pass legislation and send it to the President for his signature, both the House and the Senate must pass the same bill by majority vote. If the president vetoes the bill, they may override the bill by passing the bill again in each chamber with at least 2/3 of each body voting in favor. So 2/3 of the Senate and the Congress can override the president's veto. Judicial, which means judge, right? Here come the judge. Where the executive and the legislative branches are elected by the people, members of the judicial branch are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. So the president appoints them, and then they get scrutinized and confirmed. So that's one of the things that the president actually did, is appointed a Latin American woman to be a judge in the Supreme Court. Federal judge can only be removed through impeachment by the House of Representatives and conviction in the Senate. So basically, they're lifers. And so that's all I want to say about that right now. So that's how it works. So as you can see, the president can allocate things, but he really needs the support of everybody else to make stuff happen. So, you know, that's kind of like the bottom line. So, if you've got any questions, any comments that you'd like to make so far, please raise your hand now. We're going to just take a quick station identification. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We are the Sunday radio show from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. coming to you every Sunday. Our call-in number, for those of you out in chat room, 646-716-9827. We do have some lines available if you'd like to call in and comment and make a comment. Be sure to press 1. And I'm going to go to the first statement that I want to make in terms of what has the president done. And there's so many things. He's issued an executive order to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay. Ended Bush's CIA program of enhanced interrogation methods by requiring that the Army field manual be used as a guide for terrorism interrogations. Again, the all the stuff that was happening in seas with the torturing and the, you know, having people naked and laughing at them and doing all that craziness. Putting some bills to alter that. Increase minority access to capital. Establish credit card bill of rights, preventing credit card companies from imposing arbitrary rate increases on customers. Healthcare reform bill, preventing insurance companies from denying insurance because of pre-existing conditions. Healthcare reform, allowing children to remain covered by their parents' insurance until the age of 26, which, of course, is a big deal, especially if you've got kids in college. Tax cuts for up to 3.5 million small businesses to help pay for employee health care coverage. Tax credits for up to 29 million individuals to help pay for health insurance. Expansion of Medicare to all individuals under age 65, with incomes up to 133% of the federal poverty level. So that basically saying, you know, just 33% over the poverty level, they're going to support people. Require health insurance plans to disclose how much of the premium actually goes to patient care. Okay, that's a big deal. Added $4.6 billion U.S. dollars to the Veterans Administration budget to recruit and retain the mental health professionals. Our veterans have been coming back and really have not been getting the proper care. You know, I can go on. I mean, I really can go on almost all night around what the accomplishments are. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things that he's proposed. Obviously, he proposed the TARP, and that was actually done. That was one of the first things that actually got done and got accomplished. Of course, he took a lot of heat for that after it was done. But had it not been done, we'd have been in a depression state. You know, and I mean, let me equate that for talking about bread lines. We talk about people, you know, standing on lines for food, which is already happening, but, you know, the food that they're getting is maybe just a cup of soup and a piece of bread. You look at the, some of the, you know, the big thing right now is the jobs bill, and that's something that he's getting a lot of heat for. He's proposed several things to reduce the deficit and to generate the economy, which he's not been able to accomplish. So, as you can begin to see the three branches of government have to be working together in order for the president to be effective with his proposals. And you know, we can look at a lot of different things, but we can say that Congress has not been supportive of our president. And I'm not going to get into why. I have some personal feelings on that. And again, these issues and this conversation tonight is not necessarily representative of the International Black Summit. However, it is based on the research that we, as the individuals of the talk show, have gathered and presented. Jerry, you wanted to say anything about that?
Well, the one thing about the he also pushed don't ask, don't tell.
Yes, yes.
And you know, and that is very important, especially prevalent in our community. And also the one thing that that I want to really emphasize, you were talking about that, the things that we as International Blessing is bringing, we bring in facts. And then only we just giving you options, you know, who to vote, you know, whatever viewpoint that y'all want to have, it's y'all have options. And that's what we, us, International Black Summit, that's what we all about. We want to bring the facts, but it's up to us. We need the decision up to you. And I think that the shows that we have produced this past month, that Obama had done a lot, you know, in a short time, in his presidency. And we need to take a good look and really think about it. And we see time and time again that Congress keep on filibuster every time. Everything they filibuster, they block or they tell lies. And we have to take a good look at it. And again, it's your decision.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It is your decision out there, and what we're looking to do is actually present some of the facts that are not necessarily being portrayed on the regular media. President Obama's administration has significantly increased the funding for the Violence Against Women Act. He lifted a restriction granting Cuban Americans unrestricted rights to visit family and send remittances to the island. Eliminate subsidies to private lenders, middlemen of student loans, to protect student borrowers. Increase funding for national parks and forests by 10%. Significantly expanded Pell Grants, which help low-income students pay for college. Expanded hate crime law in the U.S. to include sexual orientation through the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crime Prevention Act. Provided stimulus funding to boost private sector spaceflight programs. Appointed nation's first chief technology officer. Isn't that interesting? Signed financial reform law establishing Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to look out for the interests of everyday Americans. Imagine that, huh? You know, I can keep going on. Signed financial reform law requiring lenders to verify applicants' credit history, income, and employment status. You know, that was a fiasco with the loans that weren't properly administered, that they were giving loans to people who shouldn't have had loans. That caused the mortgage fraud. Signed financial reform law for prohibiting banks from engaging in proprietary trading. That's trading the bank's own money to turn a profit, often in conflict with their customers' interests. Now, what the skinny in that is that if you're an investment bank and you are investing in a particular company or you've been asked to invest in a particular company, so what they're saying is that you would now sell those shares or that interest in that company that you're trying to sell, even though it's not in the best interest of your customers. So, I mean, all of this was going on in Wall Street. So, you know, and we're going to talk about Occupy Wall Street a little bit in a minute. You know, a lot of these things have been put in place to really, now, are these, you know, the full hammer? No. But there's something to at least regulate and to slow down the fraud and all of the other things that are being done to us as American people that has been put in place. So, you know, I keep looking and keep saying to myself, man, I'm glad I'm doing this research. You know, giving me some information here. So if you'd like to comment, we're gonna take a short break here. If you'd like to respond or share your information or share what you've heard and your sense of what's available, please press 1 and come on in. If you're in the chat room, we're at 646-716-9827. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show. And we are a network. We're going to be expanding into some other shows this upcoming year, different format. But right now we do a show every Sunday night, which we'll continue to do from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our website is www.blacksummit.org. And you can find out some information. We are going to Birmingham, Alabama, 2012 and 2013. We're going to Ottawa, Canada. So we've got some things on the board and some information you can find out at the blacksummit.org website. So certainly tune in. And I see everybody must feel like they're a little shy tonight, but you know, we invite you to engage. And you know, one of the reasons why we're actually bringing this information to you tonight is really to so that you can be informed. So moving forward, you can look to see, you know, what are the facts about the president's administration, and certainly you can be then informed. As Jerry said earlier, and I'll say again, one of the things that I'm very clear about is that this month, we dedicated the whole month to reaching out and doing some work, some research around the international, around the President Obama's administration and what it has done. And it's been very, very informative for me to do that research and to hear some of the things that are going on. So, Jill, is there anybody out there that needs to communicate with us? And is there anything that you'd like to say about what you've heard before?
I would like to just mention to all of our listeners that what we do on the show is we connect the topic with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And I was listening to what Jerry was saying, and I'm going to speak from the eye, that for there to be options, when Jerry mentioned options in regards to what we can do for, or what I could do for myself and for my community, the best thing that we want to remind our listeners is to, the options can be pulled from the declaration. And one thing, well, there are several things that are coming up for me as it relates to the declaration and relates to what you're talking about, Glenn. The first is that there's a lot of things that the president had promised us, and it has come to fruition where these bills have been passed. There are some things that are still, that he mentioned on his campaign, that we're still waiting on, just, you know, see what's going on in regards to the outcome. Some things have been compromised. Some promises have been broken. And for those promises, I know we've talked about a lot of facts, et cetera, in regards to the African-American community last week or the week before last. However, the whole conversation about self-generation, you know, we are not a statistic, and we create what we want. I create what I want based on self-generation and just based on being positive and being out there in the community and doing what I need to do to be in my vision. So that's my comment. I just want to remind everyone that the options that I have, I can find that in the Declaration. And I ask that as you listen in to this conversation every Sunday, find yourself in the Declaration. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Joe. You know, I'm reminded that one of the things that President Obama said at his prior to his inauguration, he took it. It was a little different tone, but what I heard in it is not what he said. This is what Glenn Greenwich heard, which was the statement that I always love, that John F. Kennedy had said, is ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And so for me, how that lives, is that was the tone in which President Obama was taking office and was looking to move the country forward. And so for me, what I got real clear about is that he is just one person. And so he can't do it by himself. You know, we talked a little bit at the top of the show about the three branches of the government. And if all three of those branches aren't working together, or certainly at least the two, then the legislative and the executive, if the two of them are not working, if the Congress is not working with the president, then there is not a lot that's going to be moving forward. And we, as the voters, have to make sure that our elected officials are doing the right thing and voting on the things that we want for our community.
Yeah.
And the onus is on us. So it's not about pointing the finger to President Obama or the Congress in general. You know, it's like, how active are we with our elected officials? Do we even know them on a first name basis? Can we come up and tell them, you know, hey, this is Glenn Greenwich calling, and listen, I think that this is how you should be voting on this bill. Are we having those kind of conversations, or are we allowing our elected officials to do whatever they feel like doing and getting back to us later? See, that's what I hear in this whole conversation of what am I generating? What am I self-generating? What am I doing in my community to make a difference, to have things occur differently? And so we're providing this information all month, and today's the last show around that, to give you all an opportunity and to give myself an opportunity to find out what the facts are and to make a difference in my community. And so I am now better armed with the information about what's going on, and for me, I can see that I need to be more active in my communication and my contact with my elected officials, assemblymen, congressmen, and state senators, as well as U.S. senators as well. Jerry?
Yeah, the one thing that we don't have to wait for the national office, we can also, you know, vote locally. Because sometimes when we vote locally, sometimes it turns out that the national, it plays a bigger role. So, go more on your point and everything, you know, my thing, I think we got to do more, especially in African-American and Latino community, we have to educate ourselves more, to ask hard questions, the candidates that we vote for. You got to ask questions about our, and our curriculum is going to come. It's going to be part of our schooling. What about police brutality? What about small businesses? Are you going to regulate certain laws that us as a people of color are going to benefit? See, it got to come from us. And it'd be better to start locally. That's the one part I see that we can start off. But we got to ask hard questions.
That's so great, Jerry, because one of the things that I'm very present to is, we're just honoring Dr. Martin Luther King and his memorial just last week.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he stand for? What did he fight for? He fought for us to be able to vote. And we have an obligation to do that, to vote, because my one vote makes a difference. And
mm-hmm.
if each of us takes that on and takes accountability and responsibility for finding out the facts and voting consistent with the facts that we found, then, that's the whole premise of the forefathers, in terms of what is available in this country. What is democracy? Why are our young men and women dying all over the world to support democracy?
This is Jill, and we have a caller that has the hand raised. 404-281, you're live on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
hi,
what's up, man? How are you doing?
Hey. Hey, two things. I want to pick it back off a comment Jerry made. I think it's very important, and it ties into what Glenn mentioned. Yes, the president is in a very important position, but I would argue sometime I have a conversation which one is more important, Congress or the president. Even though Congress is responsible for quote-unquote, the legislative branch is responsible for writing the laws, right? Well, here's where they can override the president. If the president vetoes, 2/3 vote, the president no would mean nothing if it's overturned. So then they're talking about how all politics is local. So keep in mind, when you look at your midterm election, it's roughly a 75% drop in turnout from the president to the midterm election. And see what your... With your midterm election, as far as Congress is concerned, they got 2-year periods, right? Then for the Senate, I think it's 6 years. But what happens with them, they're done in every 2 years. Every 2 years, they transition by 2 years. So even though we just say, I did it this year, Glenn did it 2 years ago, Jerry did it 4 years ago, 6 years from the time Jerry goes, that'll be his election. 6 years from the time I went, that term is during my election, except when it goes to the actual Senate. And that's what kind of occurs there. And a lot of times when you have these midterm elections, here's where your local politician comes into play. Here's me looking at how the money for the school is allocated. Money that may come from, the government or your local politician. These are the ones who decide how money is allocated within the system. So this has a direct impact on individuals, and I'm always amazed by the fact that how those type of elections have smaller numbers than that of the actual presidential election.
Absolutely. That's a very astute point, because you're right. Those elections seem to get the less turnout, the less, the more apathy, and are probably the most critical. Because you're right. Yes, I agree.
Jerry, I'm asking if Jerry could explain the filibuster. Now, I know that in the Senate, that's the last stop it makes before it goes to the actual president. Whenever you have a 60 vote, that means there's no room. No one could ever filibuster 60 or more. But if you get, even though you would only need 51 in order to, you know, gain access to the bill, they could still stop it by filibuster. But if you have 60 out of the Senate, there will be no room for filibuster. So if you could just explain what the filibuster, I know when you mentioned Aragon, I may not know what that is.
Well, the filibuster is actually when you keep talking so that nothing can be voted on. So a filibuster is actually physically talking beyond the expiration point of the bill. So the bill has a certain time frame, and a filibuster is an attempt to block the voting, because it never gets to the voting part of the of that bill. Does that that answer that question for you, Ed?
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, you answered. I'm aware of what it is. I just want to be sure that everyone else knew that. I know, but he mentioned it. I don't know if everyone, you know, knew that or not.
Right. Thank you for bringing it up, because again, it's important that we understand and know how the government works and what our rights are, and you know, what are the things that our Congress is putting in place and how it impacts us. Because one of the things that there's a lot of misinformation is that we really don't understand the direct impact that a bill has on us, our school districts, our businesses in our community, and so forth. And so it's important to keep asking those questions and keep digging and doing the research. So thank you for that. I'm going to take another quick pause. Go ahead, Ed, and then we'll take a quick pause after you.
Okay. One more thing. And here's another example of a midterm election. Remember how I just said, every 2 years, even though a senator has 6 years, your senator is voted on locally. That goes to Washington, D.C. Here's a person who can now affect what the president is trying to do by filibustering a bill that he may want to sign. So here is a midterm election that people may not vote at, and here is, again, another example of how it affects you or affects the president in this regard as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We are here every Sunday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our calling number is 646-716-9827, and our website is www.blacksummit.org. We're going to shift the conversation just slightly because I want to talk a little bit about Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street, as most of you know, started out at Wall Street, started out in New York from the standpoint of why are the people in Wall Street that brought this economic crisis into play have not been punished or even arrested. And so, you know, one of the interesting things that I think is going on, my niece, who's in high school, she actually went down there on her own with her mom. My sister took her down there, but the class actually went down. So this is a conversation that our young American students are actually engaging in and having discussions. And so what I invite us as adults to do to make sure that we also have some interaction with them around what is being discussed in the school as it relates to the Occupy Wall Street. Because I think this is a great way of engaging our young people in the conversation of what's going on and how the government works. and what's their take on Occupy Wall Street. So, Ed, Jill, or Jerry, any comments you want to make about Occupy Wall Street?
Ladies first.
Thank you. This is Jill. I do know that I was watching a TV show. It wasn't CNN. It was another show. And they were interviewing a young woman who was the spokesman, for lack of a better word, the spokeswoman for Occupy Wall Street. And what the reporter was stating was it does not seem to be a common agenda in regards to people that are protesting, to the people that are protesting, because when different reporters go out to these different protest sites in different states, everyone is they have a different message. And what I got out of that conversation was that, for me, there are individuals, many individuals that are protesting, and many individuals that are not protesting but feel the same way. Everyone has their own individual conversation as to why they are protesting or as to why they are in agreement with Occupy Wall Street. And that everyone is going through something, yet everyone sees that this is a way to speak, to have a voice for people to listen to them and hear what's going on inside them, inside their world, and that Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Atlanta, Occupy Cincinnati, that is a space that's provided for people that are just, for lack of a better word, triggered in regards to what's going on with the economy, what's going on in America. And so, of course, my thing is, well, that's logical. You are going to get a lot of different agendas because you have individuals that found a space where their voice can be heard. And I think that's tremendous. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you. And you're right. There is no common voice. But I think that that's the uniqueness of it because, remember, we haven't had these kind of conversations since the 60s, the Vietnam War, when people lash out and spoke out and said what was on their mind. And quite frankly said, you know what, government, I don't think what you're doing, I think you should do something different. And I think that people right now are at that point where they feel as though things need to be done differently. I'm not sure what. Obviously, some people felt like Wall Street should be punished. I'm going to refrain comment from that. But going forward, there needs to be some checks and balances put in place so that the American people aren't bailing out these Wall Street fat cats. So anyway, I know Jerry wanted to maybe make a comment, and our time is going down quickly. Jerry?
Yeah, it'd be nice to be very quick. You know, I know for me, people are tired. Main Street is tired. People paying, like you said, the big cats and the rich people, and they not giving back. And I know for me, when I got older, I never seen that it's going to become like this. And I know for me, as an African American, anyway, I'm happy that it turned out like this. So, especially our community, it gave us it's a wake-up call for us to advocate for ourselves. And also advocate for America, but advocate for ourselves for a change, to have the right look. This money needs to come back to the common people. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be equal. You know, I was watching TV a few days ago, and there is a company somewhere in the West that got millions of dollars a balloon plant, and this is the second or third one that they have this year so far, and it's really a shame because people are suffering foreclosures, losing their jobs, unemployment, you name it.
And I'm glad it's an outcry, especially in our community and in other Americans. I just hope that it would be sustained, keep on being sustained. And that's the question. Is this movement going to be sustained? Back at you.
You're absolutely right. That's the question. Is it going to be sustained? Is it sustainable? And are the politicians taking heed? You know, are they going to take it seriously and really change something, or is it going to be, you know, get everything gets quiet and then back to business as usual? So, you know, I think that one of the things that's important about this outcry is to give it life, and especially for the young people to be part of it. I think that that's one of the most outstanding things that is occurring in the last 10 or 15 years, such that there's actually a common cry to say, look, I want something different. I'm standing for something different. You know, let's organize and make something different happen, you know, because that's what change is all about. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We've got about 4 minutes remaining. Ed, any comment from you around Occupy Wall Street that you'd like to make, or anybody else?
Yeah, just real quick. I'm aligning with Jill. We have to have a standard message, because if their message is not in sync and it's together, people will not take you seriously. So it's good to move, but you have to move with some format of intentionality. Like everyone on along the actual same line. And here's the other thing. When it comes time to voting, a lot of the people that are senators and congressmen, they want to be put in office. You tell them you're going to do whatever to get them up out of there, they tend to do whatever it is you want. But if they feel the threat is on, you know, is behind them, that you'll get them out, they're more inclined to do it. And they do that when they see people are together and aligned. So that would be the thing I would say.
That's great, because I saw something about, oh my goodness, I can't think of his name, the Omaha millionaire, Buffett, Warren Buffett. And one of the things that's been passed around in emails, Warren Buffett said to WNBC, he said, listen, I can turn this whole budget thing around in 5 minutes. He says, if they go over the budget by more than X percent, 5%, I forget what he said in his statement, that they would no longer be eligible for election. you know, when I heard that, I was like, but of course, because they're about being elected. You would take that away from them. Of course, they're going to do what is necessary to turn that around and make that happen. So, you know, it really is about us taking responsibility and ownership of what's occurring. And we can only do that if we're informed. And we only can do that if we're involved with our congresspeople. So just want to say the opportunity and the possibility is for us to control our own destiny. We are the masters of our ship, and we can steer that ship in any direction that we want to. So it's up to us to make that happen and to hold them accountable. Jerry? You want to give us the oxygen room?
Yes, oxygen room, the number is 218-862-6420. Access number is 797-4834-pound. I will say it quickly, 218-862-6420. Access number is 797-4834-pound.
Very good, very good. And the oxygen room is available for some private, some non-public conversations if you'd like. We also can provide you with information around the International Black Summit and how to get involved and If you've never been involved, we can talk to you a little bit about that process. And if you have been, we can tell you about some of the upcoming things that are occurring as well. So we invite you to the Oxygen Room. We're about to conclude our show tonight. I want to thank all of the hosts that are our the host team, Jill and Jerry. And thank you, all the guests that have tuned in. Please come back. Next month, what we're looking to do is actually engage in the conversation of cancer and cancer prevention and cancer survivors. So we're looking to do the whole month around that. So that's what we're going to be taking on next month. And if you've got some ideas for some shows, please contact us and let us know. If you'd like to host or co-host some things with us, please give us a ring. With that, good night. God bless. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for engaging in the conversation. We look forward to seeing you at another time. And be blessed, be empowered, be inspired, because you are the greatest. Peace and blessings.